on OMF.
What Teddy did, he had a great passion for it. Always working hard.
Patriots Hall of Famer and New England legend.
Stop tweeting and get in your playbook.
Three-time Super Bowl champ. The best football analyst anywhere on the Boston airwaves.
It is intercepted by Teddy Bruschi. Teddy Bruschi has done it again.
Full tilt, full time.
Still one of the best intros.
Yeah.
I think we've got going on right now, and that's for our guy, Teddy Bruschi. It was brought to you by Yingling, All-American Game Day Brew, and Lowell Woo! 5. Teddy, no Ordway. He had a little dental issue, so it's just Lou and Christian here today.
What's up, man? Good to be with you guys again. No Ordway, huh? What's wrong? Like a tooth issue, a decaying tooth, too much sugar, something like that?
You know what it was? We challenged him yesterday to do 1 hour of the show without interrupting Lou or I or any of the callers. He chickened out. He freaked out, and he called it with some lame excuse like, "Ooh, boy, I got a crown. The dentist thinks I'm going to get an infection." He's such a baby. He couldn't handle the NFL. He couldn't play. He can't play hurt, Teddy. He can't play hurt.
Yeah. I thought we were trying to win championships.
Exactly. Thank you.
What's going on?
Can't count on him. No availability whatsoever. All right, Teddy, let's get right to it. A little bit of a mishap down there in Miami. Was Rob Gronkowski on the field in that last play a mistake?
Yeah. Fellas, that's a last play scenario, all right, and Gronk's playing the jumper, and the jumper's strictly for – jumping, I guess, for jumping in terms of the Hail Mary, last play, desperation play, chuck it up in the end zone. Early on, it was to Bucky Jones, and he was a safety because he could get up out of the gym. Then it was Randy Moss. And, of course, now it's, oh, yeah, Foyer.
Come on.
There you go.
Did you go from to Bucky to Randy?
Skip Foyer.
Yeah, I just jumped you, didn't I? All right, my bad, man. But all right, so to make that in a situation like that, I heard the term being called desperado, and you know it's going to be a lateral even if it's a Hail Mary, it's going to be significantly short. There's got to be a one-for-one substitution. And the one-for-one substitution had to be Gronkowski for another safety. McCourty being off the field, in my opinion, McCourty being off the field in the first place in that package is a mistake. Because one of your best defenders not being potentially being on the field for the last play of the game is a mistake. McCourty should always be on the field in that type of situation. So, yes, it was a mistake. It was an oversight. And I wouldn't just put it on – I'm going to put it not only on Bill and B. Flo, but every single defensive coach that had a headset that could have seen that whole situation and then looking at the field – and then seeing Gronkowski out there and then realizing the situation, like, this is going to be a catch-and-run type of thing. And if it gets to Rob, he's going to have to make a tackle. Hey, Bill, on the headsets. Hey, B-Flo, what do you think we get Gronk out of there for McCourty so we can have someone that's a better tackler? So every coach with a headset, they all failed situationally. And that's the whole thing that I was – you know, my eyebrows raised about is that entire whole game in terms of before the half and then Tom not realizing there was a timeout. And then, of course, the last play situation, they lost situationally. And that's something they pride themselves so much on. And it was just a shame because now they're in an entirely different situation. And, you know, it's just tougher. It's tougher going forward.
Yeah, I would even say, you know, the Miami Dolphins radio broadcast team recognized that Gronk was on the field and started kind of making fun of the situation. Like, listen, he can't tackle, and sure enough, you're in that situation. So fine, they put themselves in this position, and they're going to have to deal with it. So still, even with that, you have 10 guys on the field that play defense for a living, yet they still can't even come close to making the tackle. What happened there,
fellas? You guys. Last week, it was here at ESPN. It's talking to you guys. What is it about Miami? I mean, why do they always, have problems in Miami? Come that fourth quarter time, I mean, you're in the fourth quarter. You're losing fluids. You're a little dehydrated at the end. I mean, you could just see how they look. It's either they look gassed or they thought the game was over. And that's another failure on their point as players, because stressing mental toughness, a big part of mental toughness is finishing a football game and playing the last play like it was the first play. There's a little cliche for you right there, but the mental toughness aspect of it would have been, even if you're a rusher, turning and running and sprinting until you can catch somebody down, full speed to the ball. I mean, everything about that play was a failure, coaching, playing, everybody.
You know, Teddy, you brought it up because we spent so much time in this final play, but the end of the first half as well, you know, I don't think I've ever seen that from Tom. And when he said he thought they had a timeout left, you know, we were talking about it on Monday. When he hit the floor, when he got sacked, he didn't try to call time, you know, thinking he had one left. So the whole thing was just strange, something you don't see from him.
Yeah, and sometimes, I mean, these are assumptions that I'm making. You have to make assumptions because you don't get information out of there, and they all try to protect themselves, and I understand that. It's what's supposed to be done to protect the team, and I understand. Was he reminded? Was he reminded by Josh McDaniels prior to that play? If he was reminded, then I'm even more shocked that Tom didn't know the situation, first of all. But if he wasn't reminded of the situation and the timeout that you have, then that's a failure on Josh McDaniels' part.
Do you have to do that with Tom? Even, you know, this point in his career?
Don't inform
him?
The thing. There's an old saying with assume. And it's within the word. Okay.
Yeah. You can say it.
You don't assume. You make an ass out of you and me. That's what it is. You see? And so if Josh, that's what Romeo Crennel used to tell me all the time in the meetings. It's like, you don't assume, fellas. You know what that means? And I was like, yeah, I even use that with my kids now. But hey, anyway. So if you do that, then you've made a mistake, because you made an assumption that even it's Tom. He's done this many times, so I don't need to tell him. And if you've done that, that's another mistake, because even if it's someone who's been out there for that many years or that many situations, you still do your job and you remind him of the fundamental and the basic. It's what Bill talks about in the meetings. We don't care what you've done in the past. We don't care if you've been all pro, Super Bowl MVP, 10-time Pro Bowler. It doesn't matter. They're going to coach you the same. So if that philosophy held true, McDaniels should have reminded Tom about the timeout. So these are all these things that are possibly mistakes that have been made, and how you get over from those, and, you know, you talk about mental toughness and the mental toughness that they need to do. There have been pretty significant losses that I had over the course of my career in there. And one of the things that would always happen for me when a loss, I mean, not like this one, because I don't think we ever had anything similar to this. I can't remember, but because this was pretty bad. but when Bill came in, and the way that Bill would say it in his own colorful language, basically he was saying, fellas, this one's on me. This one's on me and the coaches. I should have coached better. And it said differently to when the cliche is when he talks to you guys, we need to coach better, we need to play better, we need to do all this. You know, he literally, you feel it from him. Fellas, this one's on me, because he realizes the mistake that was made, and that doesn't happen very often.
Yeah.
And so when it would happen, we'd be like, ugh, got it. Okay, cool. All right, let's move on. Because usually it's on us as players. He's pointing out all the lowlights, and this is what you did and all this and all that stuff. So when he comes in and takes accountability, it holds a lot of weight. I hope that happened this week, early this week.
All right, so, I mean, okay, I think they'll fix that. The whole, you know, communication issue, that'll be fixed. They're better than anybody in any sport. But moving forward, I feel like that's the least of their issues. Defensively, every time they go on the road, they get just pushed around. They get knocked around. They lose at the point of attack. It's just, it's mind-boggling how bad they are, and how offenses that usually can't run the ball suddenly figure out how to run the ball on the Patriots, and they can't stop them.
You're right, because, listen, it's almost like, can't you see it in your mind? If it does end, if this season does end in the playoffs, you can see how it's going to end. It's going to be possibly on the road, where the offense, is struggling to score points, and the defense can't get that stop because the way the offense is moving the football is high-percentage football, and they're running it. Mm. They're using scheme runs. They're using power runs. We're down by 3 points, and the Patriots need a stop defensively, and there's a shot of Brady on the bench just waiting for his opportunity. Boom. First down, they run it. Boom. First down, they run it. Bam. They do it again, and they never get another shot. It's almost like you can see that happening, because what was happening down there in Miami was those scheme runs, it was like on Bolden's 58-yarder, it was like 3X blocks.
Yep.
Where almost simultaneously, like the D-line and the linebackers on the second level were covered up, and boom, he's out the gate. Frank Gore and his success. The formula now is being formulated by these teams in terms of everything that they've seen that's been successful, and then their sort of interpretation of it. You saw it against Miami, and then, you know, moving forward, we'll see if Pittsburgh's that smart.
Well, speaking of Pittsburgh, Brady heads down there where he's had a ton of success. You've always had success. This team has. And the discussion becomes, you know, them losing three straight is, you know, Mike Tomlin's getting discussed. Your buddy Stephen A. said that he was insulted to even have the discussion that Tomlin could be on the hot seat. But with great talent, with rosters, come expectations. In your mind, is it even fair to discuss Mike Tomlin on the hot seat?
Every coach that has in a losing streak like this, in the way that they've lost, I don't care who you are, I think that discussion is going to come up. So I think it's fair. I mean, that's what the National Football League is, pressure, and the pressure is everyone calling for your job when you lose three in a row and you lose to the Oakland Raiders when there's, you know, there isn't a way you should have lost to them. But what I see on film from the Pittsburgh Steelers is, I mean, it's 2 weeks ago, I think 2 or 3 weeks ago, when they played the Los Angeles Chargers, and Keenan Allen is having all of that success in the slot, over the middle of the field. Phillip Rivers is just slicing him up. It's like the adjustments they made weren't good enough to stop the production. And so then I look and see, okay, did they fix it against Oakland? Okay, wait a second. There's Jared Cook out there. He's having a big day. They're putting linebackers on him. Also, just basic communication in terms of one under two or two under one, in terms of a little pick routes or crossing routes or whatever it may be, two guys on one, it's like, oh my gosh, I got that guy. It's the same thing. And it's a lot of the same things that I've seen from them last year, and it's still right now in terms of they can't fix their problems defensively. So do I see the New England Patriots with their interpretation of how Los Angeles had their success and how Oakland had their success moving up and down the field, throwing the football? I think that's going to be a big part of it this week.
So your evaluation of Ben Roethlisberger, good Ben or bad Ben Sunday at 4:30?
I think you're going to get good Ben. And it's going to you're going to see good Ben, and you're going to see good Brady. And I think the ball's going to be moved up and down the field. And how it's finished, field goals, red area completion, those type of things situationally down there is going to be what it's all about. Defensively, Antonio Brown and Juju Smith-Schuster, fellas, I mean, it's you only contain them. I mean, the way they can catch and run, the way they can get open, you got to decide what you do with Gilmore. All right, do we put him on AB or do we put him on Juju and then double the other? That's what Pittsburgh will look for immediately. What's their plan? What are they doing with Gilmore? Because he's the best they got. And then is it McCourty? And then is it both McCourty's on the other side? You know, something like that. So they figure that out. But Ben, I like Ben as a quarterback. He's a solid quarterback. He knows what he's doing. One of the best in the league for a long time. And he's going to have his production. So I'd say good Ben.
All right, so who's going to win?
Well, I'm going with New England still. I just
– with all that being said, then you pick New England.
Oh, they always win down there.
Yeah, I mean, I'm telling you about the legitimate threat that the Pittsburgh Steelers are. But I'm picking the Patriots, man. Right. Are you picking the Steelers, Foyer?
Yeah, they're gonna. What did you
well,
say they were gonna be?
Well, he's stuck on this 11-5 record, so he's gonna find a loss here in the last three. So
what did you think they were gonna be preseason? What do you think their record was gonna be?
12-4, I think.
12-4.
Oh, there you go.
All right. So you're safe right now. So I got 11-5.
All right, Teddy, listen, appreciate it. Hey, maybe next Wednesday we can see if Ordway will be nice enough to join us.
Yeah.
Yeah, tell him to toughen up.
All right, we will. All right, Teddy Bruschi, appreciate it, my man.
Fellas.
All right, take it easy. All right, that's Teddy Bruschi. Listen, when we come back, more Pats, more Steelers, because one of the Steelers' all-time greats says he's done with the Steelers. We'll tell you who next.